So hopefully everybody should have an outline. It should say the new you. Definitely didn't want to have a title the old you. That would be depressing. How many feel more like the old you than the new you? Yeah, but I'll tell you what. There's this beautiful saying. It's actually a scripture, and I memorize. It's really hard to memorize. His mercies are new every morning. Isn't that a hard one to memorize?
Yeah.
So Lord, I declare today new mercy over this place for the new you, right? Matter of fact, if you look at your outline, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you need an outline, you can raise your hand, an usher will get to you, or there's some in the back, or you can just pick it up after. But I love this passage. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And then it goes on to say something from, I think right before or right after, it says, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, right? So in other words, there's always something new going on, something God's doing that's fresh. And certainly to start us in our walk with the Lord, but also just in our daily life. I found out that the Lord's new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. I love that scripture too. His mercies, think about that. His mercies are new every single morning. That's a remarkable passage, isn't it? Is that really true? God's that abundant, that good? Well, he also said, I came that that might have life and have it abundantly. And so I want to talk about this, and maybe the Lord, my goal today is that the Lord would refresh us a little bit, remind us how God is always there, always not just hanging around in some space, but always busy creating, renewing, redoing, shaping us, even when we're not aware of it. And I'm really glad for that. That's why I can say confidently from the Scripture, all things work together for good. For them to love the Lord and call according to his purpose. I love that passage. Hey, I just think I'll preach on that. All things, isn't that amazing? All things work together for good. For them to love the Lord and call according to his purpose. It didn't have to be really dramatic there about being called to his purpose. Am I called to his purpose? Yes, if you know Jesus Christ, you got drafted. You're in. You're called to his purpose. And whether you know it or not, there's a new purpose unfolding. You know, I just as I was saying that, I want to do something here. If you're in dire need, I just say dire need of healing, stand up wherever you are. Just stand up. I want to just declare a new mercy today. By dire means serious. By dire means it's been around a while. And sickness can wear you out, and it can dull you, and really think that instead of God's mercies being new every morning, they're very far away. And so if you have see a person standing next to you, I just want to just pray new mercy on them today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you guys came here to get this prayer. I'm sure you're here for other reasons as well. But in the name of Jesus, I pray for a new thing, a new season in their health. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Running over a new season. Lord, I pray they would see it tomorrow, the next day, a lovely plan unfolding to bring new mercy today. I don't care where we've been. I don't care how long it's been. Lord, I declare today a day of new mercy for the new you. I declare you're new today because his mercy is making you new. There's new mercies today. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. The interesting thing about it is, according to the other scriptures, the new is always coming. Because his mercies are always coming. They're always new mercy. Always new mercy. I pray for family members that aren't doing well. I pray for a new thing. I pray for those that are sick today and can't get rid of the sickness. I pray new things. And for those that need a new word about their job, a new way to support themselves, I declare the new mercy of God today. And for those of us that are just troubled with regard to our mental health, and just wondering what's going on with our life, and maybe I've been under a cloud today, I blow that cloud away in Jesus' name, and I declare a new day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. So, Josh, is that you from Iran? Yes, I see you there. I have a word for you. So Iran's at the top of the news. But I'd like to bring you to the top of the news. Lord, I declare, you said that you reward a faithful man. I know of no one more faithful than you, working hard for our church, working hard for others. I pray that holy seed that you sow every day at the warehouse for other people, the time, energy you put in, I pray God would do a new thing with you, and he would put back on your head what you've sowed, and may you reap a rich harvest in the areas that you most are concerned, the things that you most want to see. I protect any brothers or sisters or relatives he has in Iran. I pray you would cover them. But beyond that, Lord, for his personal life here, I pray a new season over you. You have not grown weary with well-doing. You have sowed so many things and so many people. May God put it back on your own head. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. So once you come into Christ, that's a fact, right? And many of us remember that time when we made that first exchange for that old way of life for a new way of life. And I like this next that verse before it. For so now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, meaning that there's always something new and redemptive God's doing, no matter what, right? When you receive Jesus by faith, God gives you a new, fully alive heart. And by the way, the reason why I'm mentioning that is because I want to just say that new, fully alive heart is supposed to continue being new. He's actually strong enough to bring you a new one and strong enough to keep you new, right? So I want to just read these verses. They're just so lovely, and I'll get back to them just in a minute. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Now the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work, and those who are disobedient, which that would mean the devil, right? In case you didn't figure that out. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, aren't you glad he's rich in mercy? He just doesn't have a little mercy. He's totally rich in it, right? And that means giving it to us, too. Made us alive with Christ. God made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you've been saved. And God raises us up with Christ now, even in this place, this is our place right now, seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. So we're already in that space in the heavens. It's already done. It's ordained. But in the meantime, he also shows us incomparable riches expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. If he cared enough to send the Son of God, to send Jesus to die on the cross, he cares enough for your everyday needs. Amen. Lord, I just thank you. Your mercies are new every morning, new manna every day. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. You simply trusted the Lord, and the whole new way of life and the whole realm of new mercy showed up, not only that day, but also every single day. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works. You had to work really hard to have new things happen. You don't have to work real hard to have new works to happen. Two reasons. First, God really likes you. I like to give new stuff to my kids, don't you? Yeah. If you really love them, right? Yeah. And second of all, he responds to the prayers of the saints, right? Not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork. So we pray for it, ask for it, and God brings things, right? But we're God's handiwork. In other words, whether we pray or not, at certain times, hours, perfectly, or whatever, we're God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus, and we're created to do good works. But guess what? We're his handiwork. Don't forget that part. So he's actually fashioning something to cause that to happen. You're not alone in doing good works, because he prepared us to do them, right? It says, which God prepared in advance for us to do, which is an incredible promise, right? But we're his handiwork at the same time. So he's shaping all of these things. He knew you, and he's shaping you into something new, something wonderful. Into a new you, just like you became new when you were born again. His mercies continue. You're continuing to be his handiwork, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What an amazing, encompassing scripture. I'll get back down to that in a little bit, but if you look in your outline, A there, God transforms us. He gives us a brand new heart, a brand new heart. And that's from Ezekiel 36, 24 to 27, forecasting actually that God does that in the history, does it with people all the time. He's done it through the Old Testament, the New Testament. He's a specialist in giving people a new attitude. In the Old Testament, he had to discipline them quite a bit, but it was all for having a new attitude, because every time they got in the bad attitude, how do you know a bad attitude sends you into destruction? And the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And bad attitudes just usher that right in. But I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And part of that has to do with what God does at our salvation. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. He's talking about Israel there. But then this is where we have something in common here. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I think he's forecasting. He's saying, I'm going to do this as a result of your exile, but I'm also forecasting. He was saying something else. That's in our era, our time, with the advent of Jesus, right? That's what Jesus does. He gives a new heart and a new spirit. I'll remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Sometimes when life gets so difficult and hard, our heart just gets hard as a rock. We just, either the tediousness of life, the disappointment of life, or sometimes huge disappointments. So, Lord, I just want to declare that I have a heart of flesh, no matter what I think, no matter what I've been through, whether you're through a horrible illness or whether whatever you can feel. You can always feel when your heart's hardening, can't you? Yeah. So, Lord, I want to ask you today that you give us back our heart of flesh, where we've hardened a little bit. It may have been difficult even for us to be here. It's difficult, and when we look around, we think everybody maybe is a lot better off than we and happy. At least they're healthy this or healthy that, but Lord, I just pray for you to remind us of who we are, that our heart is soft, that we're just human beings, but you sustain us because you put your spirit in us. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Isn't that nice? He even moves you toward righteousness, right? And be careful to keep my laws. The reason why he moves you to do that is so you won't hurt yourself again, right? So you won't ruin yourself again. And I really like that scripture so much, this from Ezekiel. And Lord, I just pray this would be a new season, a new day. Give us a brand new heart today. Because when God renews our heart, it's just amazing. You can hear God's voice again. You can hear him. You see, hey, there maybe is a plan for my life. And hey, maybe this thing I'm going through is just passing. Maybe there's something new on the horizon, right? Our part is to give our lives in faith to Jesus, right? So that's Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Many of us know that's what our part is, and that's what we call salvation. Romans 10, 8 to 10 explains that a little bit. But I want to just, what was true at the beginning in our walk with the Lord is still true. And it's sort of important to go over these scriptures because God still does the very thing that he did at the beginning. He keeps doing it and renews us all over again. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your heart and in your it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Wow, what a great scripture. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And it's that same place that we get miracles and signs and wonders, and God does new things from us, from that same place. That was the prescription for your salvation. You believed in your heart, right? But you confessed with your mouth. And that's a great recipe for prayer, isn't it? I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord over this. Jesus is going to do that. Jesus is going to do this promise, that promise. So that just keeps on going. That's where we start and that's how we keep going. So what makes your heart come alive? Well, I'll tell you, for me, what I've discovered, and I think many people know and have come to understand, is when I experience mercy, and I just say new mercy, just something kind from the Lord. And let me just put a little asterisk behind this. I found out that actually by looking for new mercy, I find new mercy. In other words, sometimes I get so dull and so dead that I forget to, I don't see what God's doing all around me. Sometimes life can do that to you. But actually, his mercies are new every morning, and we were born to experience new mercy. That's how we started, right? That's how we got going. Verses 2, Ephesians 2, 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, so he's so rich, he makes us alive, right? That's what it says with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. But how about when I'm alive, I'm away from my transgressions? Is there new mercy there too for me? And I just want to say, absolutely, there is new mercy. We should expect it. Expect new mercy. That's the new you. Turns out that there's an old you, maybe in years, or there's an old you in how many years you've known the Lord, but also there's a new you. that we should expect every day, because that's just what he does. It's in his nature. He didn't just give out a little mercy and say, okay, that's good enough for 50 years for you, 30 years for you, right? Even a miracle that was done, you get another one, and another one, and another one. Because evidently God likes this thing called mercy. Aren't you glad he likes mercy? I am so happy that he likes mercy. And he likes to, not only the mercy like, okay, George is in trouble again, I'm going to bail him out. No, no, no. There's all kinds of things going on around us. God causes all these things that are working together for our good. And so part of our walk with the Lord, to stay healthy in the Lord and to walk with the Lord, is to just recognize new mercy. Jock, I declare new mercy over you. I declare new mercy over your company, over your family, over your life. I declare new mercy. Now, Jock, I don't know if that's important to you that I declare new mercy. But if I would have said something about cursing you and da-da-da, you would shrivel up like a toad and crawl out the door, right? Most of us would if I stood here and just for all that what I just said over you today and I start cursing you or saying something negative, you wouldn't feel so great about that. But I say, mercy, well, that's nice of you, Mike. We should feel elated if somebody says nice something like that, right? Wow. So feel elated, Jock. Come on. All right. Let's keep going down in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. I don't know why I picked on you today. I don't know. All right. Let's just do it again. I'll start from 4 or 5. Okay. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. I like he's rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. He doesn't run out real fast, right? He's really rich in mercy. Made us alive with Christ. That's why he's really rich in mercy. He sent his own son, right? If he sent his own son, his richest thing he had, boy, this other stuff's easy. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions, even when we were a sinner, even when we were terrible, away from God, sinning, transgressing every law, every rule. It is by grace you've been saved. But look at this. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's now. I'm seated with him in the heavenly realms. I'll be there when I die, but I'm now in that space. That's why you can pray. That's why you get to ask God for heavenly things. In his eyes, you're already with him. You're joined to him. And if you're joined to him, you're already in those heavenly spaces. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So that one day there's going to be a tell-all about our lives. And what it's going to be is it's going to be show and tell in heaven someday. And he's going to show and tell all the great, incredible mercy that he showed to everybody on the planet. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing time in the ages to come. Wow, that's going to be part of what's heaven. I believe heaven's going to be like. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's what? The gift of God. Not by works that no one can boast. And he continues to give you mercy to help you continue to save you, continue to help you, continue to move along. And I'm going to just pray for somebody who feels led. So sometimes we have a merciful thing that happens to us, and we get better, and it's doing good, and then the thing collapses on us, and it happens again. Anybody ever had that? So you thought you were out of the woods, and then all of a sudden, boom, there it is again. I just want to pray for anybody. I'm just feeling led by the Spirit to do that. I just want to just pray for anybody that's in that place. If you were out of the woods, you're doing well, and then all of a sudden the thing came back or something happened again and sort of collapsed on you. You thought this was going great, and then all of a sudden it turned. I want you to stand right where you are. Lord, I declare on everybody that's standing, boy, you're courageous today. Good job. I declare. If you gave you mercy yesterday or the day before, I declare new mercy today over this room. I declare new mercy in this house. I declare mercy for everyone that's standing here. And everyone that's too chicken to stand, I declare new mercy because they're standing right now. So as I'm talking, so I'll keep on talking a little bit. Keep on talking. Anything that went negative, anything that sucketh, that's a city in Israel. I would never want to live in Succoth, though. Something tells me that sucketh. That's not good. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for new mercy today. New mercy today. And even says every morning, so we wouldn't mind if it happened this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, so then verse 10 of Ephesians 2. This is at C4, 1C4, for you that are diligent, looking over your outline, poring over my every jot and tittle and comma. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what kind of works? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I declare that today also. Man, and good works are fun to do, aren't they? They're really fun. So he prepared all of us in advance, even before he created us. Hey, Mike, you are made for some good works. You are made for preaching this exceptionally good sermon this morning. That's what you were made for. It was a good work, right? All right. All right. So, Romans number two, the presence of God comes to live inside the heart of every believer. The presence of God comes to live inside the heart of every believer. That's what makes you new. We're the temple, the holy place where God lives. Isn't that amazing? We're literally, our physical body is the temple where God lives. We're granted the ability to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And I just want to say, this is a revelation and an experience. So we've been talking about this, but I want to just, this passage is so uplifting. And I just want to read it. It's one of my favorite verses. So Paul is actually praying this. So this is something you get to pray, which is pretty good news, I think, isn't it? Once I'll read it to you, and then you'll see. I pray, he says, he's praying to the Ephesians, that out of his glorious riches, how many know God's pretty rich? He's got all kinds of things, inside and outside riches, right? He may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So why would he need to do that? So we will become spiritually aware. We will become aware of the very thing that he's saying, these riches, that we become aware of the love of God. We become aware of the things that he's about to talk about. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray, he's praying for these guys. And you can pray this stuff. This is like, I love it when I find something I can pray that just absolutely excites me, right? And you know, you ask God sometimes when I see stuff like, and I go through all the Bible. One of the reasons why I read through my Bible all the time is find all the good promises, all the good stuff. And then I pray them back to God, because all these promises, that's where it's, where the action's at. Well, if you did that for him, you could do it for me, right? Look at this. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, now listen, he's praying this, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Wow. Wow. Well, that would be something. I'll tell you, a lot of happy people there, right? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, it goes past your knowledge. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me, you know, it's something internal. And if you taste even a little bit of this, you know what he's talking about here. That's why I love to emphasize the love of God and talk about it so much, that it's not just something I ought to do, but it's an experience with God. This fulfilling, the most fulfilling thing of all. By the time we get to heaven, we're going to discover that this love that we experience a little here is all over heaven, everywhere. It permeates, and it's so beautiful and wonderful. Right? So he's saying, you know what? You can pray for that. Lord, I want all the Holy Spirit people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Look at this. Passes knowledge about God. Something's inside. I just know that I know that I know, right? But here's why. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So how do you get filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? How do you become the new you? You experience love. That's how you experience the measure of all the fullness of God. New mercy, new love, new kindness, new grace. Something new that we didn't know about God before. Something new God's imparting. Something new that God's doing in our life, right? I love those passages so much. And I love it so much because it turns out that I think I get to pray for this. And I think it goes on. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So there's a power work with us within us toward this very thing, to root and establish you in love, to reveal love to you that is beyond what we can imagine. It's a power that's at work on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit, through God's impartation. And he's able to give you more of this love, immeasurably more than we could ask or think. You thought you could imagine or think what would be a really great thing? I'll tell you what, when love gets a hold of you at a depth that you can't imagine taking in that space, it's amazing. It's beyond anything you could imagine that your Christianity could be like. This impartation of love. And it started off by saying, I'm praying for you, Ephesians, that this would happen to you. So that means it's this. All that I'm saying here is prayable. And once you get a taste of it, you don't stop praying for this because it's just too good. And it's something, I think, a taste of heaven. I think a taste of heaven. I think boring would be like, you know, pitching a no-hitter every day in heaven or some weird thing like that, whatever you like to do. Golf game, suddenly, you know, become Arnold Palmer, whatever, you know. Boring compared to this. To him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And I realize there were some male analogies, but whatever you females like to do, tell you, love's where it's all at, right? All right. So Psalm chapter 5, verse 4 also informs us that God doesn't like to hang out with evil. You are not a God, it says, who is pleased with wickedness. So that doesn't mean he won't go there to grab you out of that space. It just means he's not pleased. That's not where his presence is. So why sin? Why do stupid stuff compared to this other stuff I get when I'm in partnership with God? Why would I want to go to a place where God's not pleased, yet we find ourselves wandering there trying to fill that depth of that problem with all the wrong things? We think, well, maybe that'll finally fill this achiness, this place in me. But it never does it? Temporarily, maybe, right? But never forever. Never forever. I just said that. Never for this life and the life to come. God offered Jesus to Israel, but they would not believe and let him heal their hearts, which is really must have been painful for Jesus, who was in his humanity and in the spirit, right? He realized heaven and very aware of heaven, but in his humanity, you can see as he's talking, and you can see through the page of the New Testament, him groaning sometimes, and even the Bible and the New Testament just kind of groaning as they're commenting on what Jesus was doing, but saying things like Matthew 13:14-15, he says, and then is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing but never understanding, you will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. Whoa, don't let my heart be callous, Lord. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. I would heal them. Wow. He goes on to say, well, blessed are your eyes that see, because you see, you know who I am. You, many righteous people long to see what you see, but you're seeing it up front. But, you know, here it is. Jesus this morning is here. He inhabited our praises. Where two or three gather, he's here, right? And so we want to continue to see. We want to always be hearing, because in the hearing and the seeing, there's always something new. And we don't want our hearts to get callous. We want the mercies of the Lord to be new every single day, and God's actually offering that in this very passage of Scripture. We look at Jeremiah 31 to 34. As a matter of fact, it's not only that he wants to tell you new things, speak to you things, make you aware of things, but he wants to write it on your heart. Jeremiah 31 to 34, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant. That's a covenant that we're in right now, with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband of them, declares the Lord. That is a very strange passage. So I was a husband. So when Jesus thinks of us, he thinks of us in very intimate terms. A husband, right? Or a brother, a sister. These relationships that he put on earth are meant to point us toward the love, the great love that God has for us, right? And I'm talking about a good husband or good wife. I'm talking about a good relationship, what God meant them to be. But he calls us his or her husband. His husband sounds weird, but still, you get the idea, right? This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. It's not that I just know Scripture, but if you know Scripture and he writes it on your heart, what it means is that you not only know what it means from the outside, but you understand God's full intent. And for every law, every rule, God's full intent was to fill you full of love, to have compassion on you. Even when you do things that are sacrificial, laws that maybe require a cutting back or a giving, like we give the first tenth to the Lord, those sort of things, the sacrificial things, but guess what? You can't outgive him. What we sow, we reap, right? And he puts his law on our minds and our rights and our hearts so that when we do it, we get something good out of it, not something bad. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. His law was for good. Amen. And of course, in our human nature, without the Spirit on the inside of us, we had a really hard time with the law, and it did Israel in. But even we do today sometimes, thinking as his laws is too restrictive, but they're every one of them, every single law that he wrote was not only for the worship of God, but for your own blessing, for your own grace. Even to say the word law, rebellious Americans that we are, it's even hard to say that law is good, right? But try And we've been trying that a little bit. What happens when there's no law? What happens when the laws are twisted and broken? So the law of good is for blessing, isn't it? I don't want to get into a political speech here. I got to move on here. It's very tempting. I will put my law in their minds and write in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the last of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. That is God's will for everybody. Wow. From the least to the greatest, I'll forgive their wickedness, I'll remember their sins no more. And then past that, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, right? And God wanted to write this law of his on their hearts, but the law that he had for us from the Old Testament and moving into the new was only to bless us, only to keep us safe, only to keep us a hedge around us from the evil one. So when we sin, it always invites the evil one. So we want to stay away from that because it's just dumb. It hurts us. He always uses that because he's quite a lawyer, quite a legalist. And God is quite a lover, and he looks over things. Even when we mess up his law, all we have to do is confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anyway, sinning's stupid because it's sin, and the wages of sin's always death. Something bad always happens when we sin, but we still do it anyway, right? Thank God that he came. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God. But you know what? We want to move beyond that, always having to be corrected or always having to have fire insurance. I want to move beyond. I want to move into the abundance, the beauty of Christianity. It's right here, to live from the new you, and I would say the real you. When I receive Jesus, my heart delights in him, but I'm aware of my sinful nature. But don't pay attention to that. That's just like the flashlights come on and you realize, well, that wasn't so good. That's not so good. But also, what is good? That he delights in you. He shows you that stuff because he loves you, but also he just delights in you. He likes everything about you. He likes the things that you would be surprised that you like, right? He's like that good. Matter of fact, I just think we could just spend a whole sermon or 15 sermons or 20. Maybe have Eddie Piorek can tell us again how lovely God is, how he's always for us, how that revelation will be the biggest revelation you'll ever experience in your life. That God loves you not only because you gave your life to him at some point and confessed your sins, but God loves you every day. That's why he said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, right? Good job, Mike. I like that. Very good. All right. When I receive Jesus, this is 3A, my heart delights in him, but I'm aware of my sinful nature. So this just says it a little more explicitly, our conundrum. But the conundrum is way overweighed by experiencing something positive, right? You could intellectually even go through these verses and think really deeply about them, right? But the answer to it all is this experience with God who loves you, the loving experience of the Holy Spirit, the one that whispers in your ear, hugs you, tells you kind things, does kind things for you. So I find this law at work. Although I want to be good, the evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another at work in me waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Now, he's just saying that. It's just a description. That's not to be despairing because there's no despair because Jesus came for this very thing. He's setting us up. What a wretched man I am. If I just stay there, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. But that sinful nature is being crucified daily. Sometimes, not daily, sometimes every other day, sometimes in another moment, whatever. We're not supposed to live in that space because the joy of it is I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And the key to abundant life is walking with God, doing things that he does. Even when sacrificial things that come back on our head. You know it's hard to outgive God? I tell you, I've said that for years, but I'm learning it more and more. It's very hard to outgive God in any way. Give a cup of water to someone, give some money to somebody. It's hard. That's why we should be the most generous people in our time and our energy and everything, because it's hard to outgive God. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God he gave me his most important gift of all. This other stuff is small potatoes, right? But still, he likes to give. He's a giver. So then I myself, I'm a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So, slave to God's law, yeah. But that's a happy slavery. Right? But and that sinful nature pops up, but don't let it worry you. When it comes up, just say, sorry about that, Lord. I'm moving on to this, the law of God. Goodness, mercy, grace. It's the beauty of Christianity is choosing to live from the new you, the real you, the one that God's fashioning, the one God redeemed, the one that God has plans for you. For I know the plans I have for you, he says, to give you a future and a hope. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The cross covers everything. That verse I just said is Romans 8:1. Verse John 1:8-10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We'll look at that a little more carefully. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So I gladly say, Lord, I've done it. I've done a whole bunch of stuff I'm not proud of. I do things everywhere occasionally, Lord. So I admit it. Because if I confess my sins, and I agree with him, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's really important because there's two parts to this. One, he lets you off the hook. He's forgiven you. But then if sometimes some sins need a little purification, we messed up and we're repairing. And can I just speak to this to some of us? Because we see those sins purify us from all unrighteousness. But I think this speaks of God's reclamation project. Sometimes it takes time for him to get rid of all the stuff that we put in our life. And it's a glorious time. So not only does he forgive us, but he purifies us from the effect of the sin. It gets out of our life. And so we're all in motion that way. And sometimes it just feels like when we first come to the Lord, am I ever going to get clear of this? Am I ever going to get clean of this? But listen, that perfect purification is what God's doing. And he'll do it. And even if we don't cooperate sometimes, but he's always doing it, always getting us past it. Because why? The wages of sin is death. Why do I want any more of the destruction I let into my life? But the thing is, the important thing is, look, you're forgiven. So don't let that guilty thing, don't let that guilt eat you. Because that guilt is part of Satan's plan to put a label on you. And say, you're that same person, but you are not that same person. You're a new creation, first of all. And when you sin, it doesn't stick because of that. And then the other thing is, I tell it not to stick. Hey, you have no part in me. I just rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you what, test it, see how far it goes. Pretty soon you'll say, sorry, God, sorry, God, sorry, God. Then what happens is, if you mean it with all your heart, you'll get tired of saying you're sorry. Man, this is a waste of time. Why do I keep doing that stupid stuff? It just messes me up. And I have to get forgiven and everything and go through all this stuff and guilt. You know, I'm tired of it. Be gone, right? Thank God that he keeps purifying you, though. Thank God he doesn't give up on you, right? If he gave up on us, we'd be in really bad shape. But that's part of the new you. You got someone that you can go to as a counselor to counsel you, to forgive you, to get you free of things and to keep telling you how great you are and purify you so that you can experience more, not less, right? See, the Spirit of God living in my heart overwhelms my old nature and death itself. Oh, and I'm going to read to you some of my favorite passages of Scripture. They've always been my favorite. I didn't understand them as well as I do now. Romans chapter 8. I love these passages so much. Let's just read them together. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, even when it looks like it, even when you're in this world and it seems that's all you see around you, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Your blood bought. Your spirit lives in heavenly places with Jesus, and you'll be with him in your body someday. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. You're in the realm of the Spirit if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. By the way, if you know Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives in you. I mean, not just kind of hangs around every once in a while. He lives in you. He lives in you. So what sin does is it cuts us off from it. We don't know he's living in us, right? Then we get lied to. And then we get into deeper sin. But he still lives in us. He can take a lot. He takes a lot of abuse sometimes, especially in the early years of our life, right? But it's that living in us that we can depend on. He doesn't go back on his word. He doesn't betray us, right? And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. What righteousness? Well, the righteous things that I do, but also the righteousness of God that's there cleansing me all the time. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives inside you. It's because that Spirit lives inside you. You're going to resurrect from the dead someday. Life to your mortal bodies. And even in your mortal body when it's sick, he gives life to your mortal body. Yeah. If you're sick right now, why don't you stand up right now? I declare this passage, he gives who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of spirit, because of the Spirit who lives in you. I declare life to mortal bodies right now, according to this amazing, lovely promise from Scripture. Life to your mortal body. Life to your mortal body. Life to your mortal body. When the enemy is saying no, when your flesh is crying out no, I declare life to your mortal body in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I like that one. Okay. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. Isn't that amazing? Co-heirs with Christ. How could I be co-anything with Christ? Because of what he did, because of the blood, because of what he did for me. He seats me in high places. That's why we can pray with him. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You're going to share in his sufferings. There's no if here. You will. You are. Man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. But in his sufferings, in the sense of this also, what he means is not only that, okay, I'm in pain, and Jesus, I thank you that you're with me and I'm sharing that way, but also we share in his sufferings in another way with other people who are suffering. Yeah. Jesus is suffering. Isn't it an amazing thought that Jesus is suffering for lost people, broken people, sinful people? And we could join with him in that and suffer with him and intercede. That's what we call intercession, or even empathy or kindness. Compassion is one of the greatest things that the Spirit of God works in us, because he works that in our spirit, right? He's lovely that way. We cry, Abba. The Spirit strongly testifies. I want to just say that again. We cry, Abba. This is verse 15. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, since you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as sonship, and by him we cry. That word cry, as most of us know, is a shriek. It's a very emotive word. It's not, I kind of call out. No, we shriek, Abba, Daddy. And so that's the cry of our heart. That's the cry of the new you. The cry of the new you is, Abba, Daddy, not just Father, not just someone out there in the big sky, you know, somewhere hoping I'll meet him someday in the heavenly by and by. No, hey, that rhymed. Anyway, the Spirit is our deposit from God, guaranteeing our resurrection from the dead, our greatest need and our greatest hope. So by the Spirit living on the inside of you, inside of the new you, you're carrying God around with you. Guess what? It guarantees that you're going to resurrect from the dead. So I love the Holy Spirit so much. It's my guarantee that when I die, I'm going to resurrect from the dead. He's our greatest hope, our greatest need. The tenderness of our God overwhelms everything in us that resists and invites us to be tender sons and daughters. So the tenderness of our God overwhelms everything in us that resists and invites us to be tender sons and daughters. So it overwhelms that resists God, the tenderness from the Lord. It's amazing how it does that, how he overwhelms us with goodness and mercy. But then he invites this around. You be the tender son now. You be the tender father. You be the mercy giver. So it's with mercy that we're loved. We love, why? Because he first loved us. That's part of the new you. Part of the new you, you've got reservoirs of love. Sometimes you don't even know about it. But one of the reasons why sometimes you don't know about it is you haven't spent enough time receiving him and let him love you. When I worship God, I let God love me. I don't just sing songs. I just go into the presence of God and say, God, thank you for revealing your love one more time. And so the thing of it is, we have breakthroughs in those seasons. And one time, sometimes we do seminars on receiving the love of the Father, or in my classes on life in the Spirit, I do seminars, a little tiny thing where we just take a moment and say, like we're going to do today, say, Father, would you come? Would you demonstrate your love, your tangible love? Will you say? And when we do that, we just stand there and we think, well, okay, what do I do next, right? And you just let God do whatever he's going to do. And sometimes it's a boomerang thing. You ask that and they'll hit you in the head with it an hour later, right? The love of God. But it's a dangerous, beautiful thing. I say dangerous because if you ask for the love of God, you fervently say, God, reveal your love in me. He will take you up on it. Sometimes he takes you up on it during a time of suffering, and he ambushes you there. And you know what? That time of suffering was good because it lasts the rest of your life. Not the sin, not the suffering, but what rests the last of your life. The tenderness you felt. The thing that God came to, you remember it, and guess what? Then you start dispensing it. And when you start dispensing that love, guess what? It comes back on your own head. Give love and you get it back. But also, regardless if you're in that great a mood, you're in that great a place, the love of God specializes in people that are not in a good place. He loves to ambush you when you're in a stinky, terrible place, like Tom's been in this all week, right? That's when the love of God comes, Tom, right? Even when you're sick, even when you're not doing well. I can't believe you were in that call praying. He was Death warmed over. It looks like you're better today. Love of God caught up with you? Oh, good. Lord, matter of fact, I'm just going to do this right now. If you're sick in your body, stand up right now. If you're sick in your body, stand up. I'm going to do it again. Lord, I pray today that you would manifest the love of God. I pray, God, not only would you heal our bodies, because there's a bunch of people that didn't stand up before, but I pray, God, not only would you heal, because I'm asking, and by the way, you said you're good, and you answer my prayers. And Lord, these people are good, and we're kids. And when we ask Papa for anything, he does it. So I'm asking again, Lord, for healing. I'm praying for hope to come in you. I'm praying for the manifest presence of God to come on you. I'm praying for a new day for you, a new season. And while you're at it, Lord, while we're being healed, I pray the tenderness of God would invade us today, and it would just, we would understand that we're sons and daughters and not just kids and not just prayer objects. We are sons and daughters asking our daddy in heaven for something good today. Like my mentor, Oral Roberts, said, something good is going to happen to you today. He used to say that at our college all the time. I began to make fun of him for it all the time. We'd all make fun of him in the dormitory. And then, you know, later in my life came in pretty handy. Something good is going to happen to you every day, you know? And I realized what he was saying because he was living off the goodness of God, right? All right, you could be seated. Thank you, Lord. Boy, some of you are really grabbing a hold of that. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live off the love of God today. So let's go down to bottom of our outline there, and we'll begin to finish up here. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 12. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory as it was. So when he wrote the law, this glory came on his face. God gave him the Ten Commandments. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? So the law came in and it was glorious. It's good because it's God's will. It's God's design, right? But what about the ministry of the Spirit? Let's not underestimate how glorious that is, how far above it is. We feel good when we do God's will. We feel good when we do good things. We feel good when we followed through and we know that goodness is going to come out of it. But what about the ministry of the Spirit? The ministry of the Spirit is even more glorious. If the ministry that brought condemnation, you know, the law he's talking about that, you know, obviously brought condemnation, right? But because it showed us where we're weak, where we're falling short, and that's good because then we can repent of it and get better, right? But that's glorious that God allows that to happen. And the glorious thing of all is that Jesus Christ came, we confess our sins, and he wipes that condemnation off of us because of his blood shed on the cross, and that is all glorious. But look at how much glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. He's talking about something else here, the surpassing glory, the glory that surpasses the law, right? And I just love that so much about the Lord and what he does with us. Therefore, since we have such a hope, and well, let me just read through this. For what was glorious had no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. I'll tell you, I just want to think about that for a moment. We are very bold. So we're being transformed from glory to glory. One part of it is that we're very bold. But you know why we're very bold? Because we know we're loved and beloved. We know who we are. We're the new us. I think part of being a new you is being bold. Why wouldn't you be bold? You've got a lot going for you. And you know, if whatever you give away to somebody, if they take it, they're going to have a lot going for them. So the new you is being transformed from glory to glory, largely by repeated encounters with the love and compassion and forgiveness of God. And over time, we begin to know who we are, that I'm actually a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And then I start being like Jesus. I start telling about Jesus. I start ministering in Jesus' name with confidence. And I start taking my prayer mantle, realizing that I have an advocate with the Father. And when I pray, good things are going to happen. It's amazing what it transforms me. The love of God, the positivity of God makes you into the greatest prayer warrior it'll ever be. I hate listening to the prayers of condemned people who pray. They drive me crazy. You know, It's like being in a morgue. People that I'd rather be with someone that's been a horrible sinner and got delivered. And I like their prayers. God, thank you again for saving me. I was such an idiot. Thank you so much. Now, Lord, that idiot over there needs what I got. Please have mercy on him, right? We become very bold prayer warriors when we know who we are. And we know that by the love of God, which transforms us literally from glory to glory. It never stops. We become more glorious because we get more of the glory of God. We realize more. And the more love you get, the more kinder you get. The more you pray, the more you're transformed. All of it. So we begin to live this crazy lifestyle. I think that Jesus obviously did his miracles. He did his miracles because he was the Son of God, obviously had the power like that, but he imparted that to us. But I've noticed something about that power in the new you, which is something that we pass on in our prayer life and in miracles and so on, right? But also it's because this love in us motivates us to just want to be kind to everybody. So look at this. Whoever has been, who has, will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Wow. So that means that when I have something, when I've gotten a miracle, for example, or I received a miracle, it's important to realize I received, right? So that should motivate me to give more. Not to make an idol out of it, Matt painted in a corner, God, I remember the year 1972 when God did this and this. No, here it is. When whoever has will be given more. Who doesn't have, even what they have will be taken for him. So, in other words, whatever God does inside of you, whatever miracle he produces inside of you, is for us to do more. So I just want to read this story, verse 35 of Mark 4. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? I don't think they were walking in the love of God at that moment, right? Don't you? We know you're going to be okay, but what about us? So, I mean, does that tell you where the disciples are right there, right? Don't you care that we're drowning? I'll tell you, some counseling appointments are like that. I'm sitting there, you know, trying to give them my best and everything, and I distinctly could hear them saying, don't you care that I'm drowning? Yes, I care, but I don't know how to make you know that I care more because you're really depressed. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Yes, I care. That was his heart, right? He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I've been doing all this stuff around you. It hasn't helped you a bit. Like, I'm nice. I'm not going to let us all drown out here. They were terrified and asked each other, who's this that even the wind and the waves obey him? So the wind and the waves stopped, but they completely went over this. Do you still have no faith? How many things have you seen? Do you still have no faith? I guess he's implying maybe they should have done it. Or at least not been afraid, because why? Jesus in the boat. Jesus in the boat. That's how the new you thinks. The old you thinks like these guys. Crazy stuff, right? You don't pay attention to a single good thing that God's done for you. You can't remember anything. God delivers you something, and then something bad happens, and then you go, oh, no, here I go again. How many ever done that, right? Don't do that anymore. Matthew 17:14-21 says that nothing will be impossible for you. It says nothing will be impossible for us. He's the one that said it. Jesus said that, right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, right at the bottom of your outline, 17:18. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we're being transformed day after day, day after day. Because the Lord's good. It's part of your new you. You're free from sin. You're free to love. You're free to be ourselves. And by the way, I love that seminar, Free to Love Again, that we do. It's such an explanation of our life. Because when we get divorced or there's some sort of horrible thing that happens, you know, in your life where you're disappointed greatly by somebody, or maybe you disappoint someone greatly, or maybe you've had a horrible thing happen and somehow in someone close to you, you're free to love again. You're free to love again because that's the new you. You bounce back. You're free to love again. Because there's greatness in God, and not only the present, but the future. And if you have a loved one that died and knows Jesus, you're going to see them again. But even when the worst happens, we're free to love, we're free to be ourselves, we're free to risk, we're free not to be afraid, we're free to be fully alive, we're free to worship, we're free to be like Jesus, the new you. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. One thing I love about prayer so much is sometimes people make a ritual or a sort of a thing of prayer. You know, I don't know how to explain that. Like, you know, they're a prayer warrior or they sort of project that. And I think that's good if they really are a prayer warrior, right? But all of us have to understand that this God's so good. And then he created this thing called access, called prayer. And that's how you connect. You ask and you connect with who? The good God. If he's no good, you're not very motivated. And if you're suspicious of him, you're not very motivated. And if you don't think he's good enough, that his promises really are true, that if you ask me anything, I'll do it, that sort of thing, oh, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, all of those amazing promises. And Jesus gave some incredible promises about asking, didn't he? So that's because he's a good God, wants him to give good gifts to his kids. That's why we come boldly to a throne of grace. We come there and then we ask for help in the time of need. Right? I'm combining some scriptures there. So that's why when we come to this point in the service, we're talking, surely it should always inspire us to pray. Whatever area, I always like us to pray because he's so good. We have access and we're here and we've been worshiping. And we can feel the presence of God. And if anything should be a house of prayer, it should be this one. And if you have a need or a concern, especially one that's bugging you, and I would say, let me just be a double especially. One that's been bugging you for an awfully long time, and you're sort of in a knot about it. Yeah, oh man, I always come up there. Right? Your problem there isn't that you're not persistent. Your problem there is that you lost sight. You had an opportunity to fix something, but you lost sight of God, right? So for me, I find myself like always trying to take an opportunity when I'm, especially in an environment where we've been worshiping and everything, to ask God for stuff. So even while I'm worshiping over there, I'm always asking for God, all kinds of stuff. I say to myself, you're supposed to be worshiping. You're supposed to be worshiping now. Yeah, I know, but I got to ask this first. And I get away with it because God's really good. It's okay, yeah, whatever you want. Come boldly to that throne of grace, man. Even if you're worshiping, well, you can worship me and you can ask at the same time. You can worship on this side and ask on that side. That's what I do. I worship, I ask. I worship, I ask. I worship, I ask. Matter of fact, that's why I like to start our prayer meetings with worship because I have to, like, worship kind of go into the space, you know, and then I just ask, right? And so, Lord, because he's good, right? So let's all stand. And I just encourage you, whether you want to come up here to do it, I like to do that sometimes. Especially if I have something really on my mind and pray with somebody else and agree, which is part of the prayer of agreement, or from your own place, take a second. But why don't you just try out the goodness of God? Let the new you be here today. The one that's full of courage, full of confidence. And I don't care if you've prayed 50 times. Do it again. Be bold. Come, and we'll have some worship. These guys are great at worship. So what happens to me is, not only that, but we're just going to serenade you as you pray. Right? I love to have some ministry team up here praying for people for a minute. If you could do that, just demonstrate and releasing the love of God to people. I like to pray by myself. I like for other people to pray for me. Sometimes they have a new slant. Sometimes they say something that utterly astounds me. Like, I seek out because I'm looking for every avenue I can hear God speak to me, talk to me about whatever I'm asking. Sometimes it comes through a lowly donkey. Sometimes it goes through somebody that looks like they really know what they're doing. Either way, your faith drives the answer. But why does your faith drive the answer? Because you're a new creation. The new you likes this understanding of God, this concept of a good God, a kind God. I'll just give like 5 or 6 words of knowledge that I think you might want to be praying about today, just to inspire some of you who maybe been a little low. Someone here has been disconnected from their daughter or son and their kid, and it's very painful for you. Maybe because of their sin, maybe because of their way, maybe some other misunderstanding. If I were you, I'd just come to the front and pray about it. Or you could pray from your seat. I could sense that there is someone here that hasn't been to the doctor yet, and they're afraid of their symptoms. And they haven't even wanted to go to the doctor because they're too afraid. Why don't you take a moment and just tell Jesus about it today? There's someone here that I felt like in my spirit the whole time, feels like they're unfruitful. Feels like they just wonder when, you know, they can remember a time in their life when they're more fruitful, but they just feel unfruitful now. You know, listen, any problem you have, you can ask, seek, knock. The door is open. The new you understands how good God is. You get transformed by it. Everything's on the table. Doesn't work with my golf scores, though. But everything else seems to be working great. There are some things that have a long fuse and some things that have a short fuse. But some of you have a long fuse. And I don't care how long you pray for something. I just be bold and I come back to the throne of grace right now, today. You can come forward to us in your seat. Take a moment. Whatever you do, let your new you come out and intercede and ask God for a miracle today. Ask God for something special today. Ask God for a sense of God's presence today. I don't care if you asked Him 50 times or this is the first time. Have you ever prayed? I'll be up here. A few of us will be here. You could do it right from your seat if you like. But Lord, I pray in the next few minutes as prayers go upward, You would hear us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, You put a new boldness in us, a new kindness in us, a new impartation. I impart, Lord, the love of God. May the love of God be in you. May the love of God and understanding. May this message go way beyond what I say. May the scriptures jump out of you. May God convince you that you're good, that all things are working together for your good. And if God's for you, who could be against you? And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's me. That's who I am. That's who I am because of the blood, because of the authority, because of the place You've given me. Lord, I pray You would hear every single prayer offered in this place. I pray, God, this place would be full, like atomic weaponry going up into the heavens, Lord, like a mushroom cloud, calling things down from the good God, Lord. Jesus' name. And I pray You'd renew us in these things. This very week and all through the week and the next week and the next week and the next week. No matter how bad it's been. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com and we'll see you next time.